In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God
forever. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So goes the next beatitude that we're covering this summer. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Three brief stories to share with you. Jesus was walking down the street, and a man named Jairus stops him. My daughter is sick, on the point of death. By the time Jesus gets to the house, the girl has died. She's 12 years old. The family is beside themselves with grief. Someone there has a flute and begins playing for the family. The whole crowd is in mourning. They're crying out loud at the loss of this 12-year-old. She's a daughter, a granddaughter, a sister, a neighbor, a friend, and she's gone. She's died, been taken away, and those who love her mourn. Second story, Jesus is approaching Jerusalem and stops on a hill and looks down. That beautiful but broken city. And he begins to cry over it. He begins to weep over it. Oh, Jerusalem, he says, if only you had known the things that make for your peace. And Jesus mourns over that great city because of the turmoil, the darkness, the backstabbing, the violence, the fraud that lies within that great city. Third story. Jesus is having dinner in someone's house when the party is disrupted by an uninvited guest. The story describes this guest as a woman from the city who was a sinner. She walks right into someone else's house, begins crying at the Savior's feet. Her tears are plentiful enough to wash his feet, it says. And so she wipes his feet off with her hair. The story doesn't say what her sins were, just that they were many, and that she mourned over them. These three stories, a family mourning over the death of a 12-year-old girl, Jesus mourning over a whole city, and a woman mourning over her own sins, they all have a common thread. Mourning, grieving, not just sad. Mourning is deeper than that. It cuts to the deepest part of our soul. Mourning what's happening in society, mourning what's happened to us, mourning for what we ourselves have done to others. Now, mourning, grieving, it's a perfectly natural reaction to evil and to pain and to hurt. If there's any shred of humanity in us, we mourn when bad things happen. We can't help ourselves. The image of God in us, you might say, requires it. But the problem is that grief can be seductive. Mourning has a certain dark tang to it that we can grow accustomed to, even addicted to. We lay claim to the right to mourn. We hang on to our hurt like a badge, like an insignia. And soon it begins to define us, or perhaps more accurately, we define ourselves through our grief and the claims it allows us to make. I have cause to grieve, I say, and therefore I have a right to be angry. I have cause to grieve, therefore I have a right to feel hurt. I have a right to remain broken. I have a right to lash out. And into this chaos of our heart, Jesus comes, he sits down, he opens his mouth, and he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Here comes the hand of God to bring comfort to those who mourn. Now, he doesn't say there's no reason to grieve. This is not make-believe. He doesn't say your grief was without cause. He himself wept on many occasions. But what he does say is that when you mourn, you will be comforted. Comfort will come from me, he says. Comfort will come from God. Comfort will come from the people I send you. Comfort will become the way I weave circumstances around your life. Comfort will come through the new vision that you'll be afforded. I will breathe my spirit into you. I will come to you myself and make all things new. You know, when you plant a seed in the earth, you don't expect it to stay the same. It has to crack open for there to be life. It can't stay in its shell. The old way, the old seed has to die. But then look what comes out. If it's a lilac seed, look what comes from that cracking open. If it's a crabapple seed, look how beautiful those are. Or a mighty oak. Or crops that'll feed 1,000 souls. All come from a seed cracking open, dying to itself. Some take a long time to grow like an oak, some one season like a crop. But if you who mourn accept comfort, you will heal 1,000 other souls around you. You know, in the epistle today to the Romans, we heard that we can actually learn to celebrate our sufferings, to glory in them, our sufferings. Not because suffering is good, by no means, absolutely not. But because of what can come through it, because suffering can produce endurance, and endurance can produce character, and character can produce hope. And suffering, when we don't let it imprison us, when we let God touch it and comfort it, leads to hope. And true hope will never disappoint you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That city that Jesus wept over because it had no peace, some 2 months later received the gift of the Holy Spirit in a way the world had never seen. The family that mourned their daughter, they had her very life returned to them. And the woman who grieved over her sins, she departed forgiven. She went out into the world a new person. Mourning is a perfectly natural reaction to evil and pain and hurt. There's no denying that. But if there's any shred of humanity left in us, we will let God in to comfort the place that hurts the most. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen.